Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I've decided to make the intros a lot shorter so that we can get into the juicy part of the podcast where the guest tells all about themselves, who they are, or if you're listening to the bite-sized option, you can just dive on in to the miracle or magical moment. And so with that, here's Dave Letterfly Noterer. And kind of why I fell in love with Dave is that he's a raconteur. He's a born storyteller, and he's someone who's lived an absolute authentic life of adventure. I mean, all you have to say is that I ran away to join the circus, and you've kind of hooked me. So without further ado, here's my conversation with this most amazing storyteller.
This lady brought me a big carnival trailer that she served ice cream and fruit cups, you know, sundaes and stuff. And she wanted this big elaborate scene, like a sidewalk scene. And she brought, and I did an absolutely beautiful mural on the face of this thing. And a couple of days later, she called me and said, "Hey, you know the little spike that sticks out on the top of an umbrella?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, you forgot to paint one of them." So I went, "Oh, no." This was about 2 years into my sobriety. I had the horse. I had just acquired the horse. I hadn't even had him a full year, and I was already training him to perform on a circus. And here's standard. I don't know if it's a standard for everybody, but standard for me was I actually signed the contract to perform in the spring of the year before I had the horse trained to do anything. So, kind of gave me a deadline. So then throughout the winter, I was training him to do the stuff. And I was financing this project with doing sign painting and artwork and stuff. And this lady brought me a big carnival trailer that she served ice cream and fruit cups, you know, sundaes and stuff. And she wanted this big, elaborate scene, like a sidewalk scene with a lady pushing a fruit cart and a guy under, you know, sitting under an umbrella with a big waffle cone full of stuff and on either side of the serving window. And there was an umbrella on either side, you know, an umbrella over the table the guy was sitting at, an umbrella on top of the fruit cart. So it would look like a sidewalk scene. And I did an absolutely beautiful mural on the face of this thing. And she came, she loved it. She hooked onto it and she drug it away and she went to her first event. And a couple of days later, she called me and said, "Hey, you know, the little spike that sticks out on the top of an umbrella?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, you forgot to paint one of them." So I went, "Oh, no." And it was like, what do I do now? So I found out where she was. I had to do the right thing. So I threw a ladder in the Volkswagen bus and drove up to the fairgrounds. And I explained to the guy at the gate what I was there to do. He let me in. I went and found where she was. And unloaded the ladders, set it up in front of the thing, and climbed up with the brush and the paint. And it took about this long to paint the spike, about boop, and I was done. And when I came down off the ladder, this guy had ridden by on his bicycle and he had stopped. And he was looking at the scene and he saw me coming down off the ladder doing the finishing touch. And he said, "Would you come with me?" And I said, And I said, yeah. And I went with him. What was going on at the fairgrounds at the time was the RV Super Show. And he had just bought a $1 million motorhome and he wanted his name painted on the front. Happy Hours. And so that was the happy accident that occurred that landed me in my next demographic. And for the next 20 years, my main gig was putting paintings on luxury motorhomes. And it all started as the result of a happy accident.
That is crazy.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, first of all, I'm surprised that you missed the spike at the top of that umbrella, because you seem like someone who has a pretty profound attention to detail. But then, you know, you're so affable and kind, and you say, I'll come right over when she calls. I'll be right there with a good attitude. You're not upset about it. You're not angry. You're like, I'll fix this. And because of that, it changed everything.
Everything. Definitely.
I did not even know there were such things as $1 million RVs. Please forgive me for that. That is astounding. And so because you forgot to put the spike at the top of the umbrella, the rest of your life changed forever. That's really unreal.
Definitely. Yeah.
But also, I think what you're saying is, you know, this work that you did, it helped facilitate the work that you did with horses as well. Is that true?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So horses, as you are well aware, they use horses for therapy. So it's interesting that here's this guy, he's probably experienced trauma as a kid because of the family situation, certainly confusion and frustration. And they use horses for therapy for juvenile delinquents and people that are in prison, and even people that are going through, what do you call it, therapy. Physical therapy and different kinds of things. Horses have a lot of benefit. Even a horse that goes from room to room in a facility to monitor or greet or administer to the patients. Yeah. Because their horses are able to recognize somebody that needs attention. And they do exactly like Mr. Mischievous did. They just come over there and just stick their head on your shoulder.
Oh my gosh.
Because of that that intuition that they have. Oh, here's somebody that needs me. You know? And and it's amazing that they don't have to do much, and it's therapeutic. Yeah.
Would you agree with the statement that each horse has its own personality?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and when you study the politics of the herd, there are different roles that the horses will move into. There's an alpha, and then you've got the beta, and then you've got the different, depending on the size of the herd, and there's even the scapegoat at the bottom. And the same thing with a wolf pack. You know, the wolf family, not more than a family, just the pack, you know, the community of wolves. They have the same kind of, there's a hierarchy that exists. And definitely with horses too. And that's what happens with the little mule. I had that little mule her entire life. I put her down when she was 34, and we had connected, we had bonded, you know. And there are things that take place in the herd where the animals will bond and connect and do like, you know, you were experiencing in that during that 2-hour interview. I just love horses. Yeah.
They seem, I mean, quite honestly, really heart-centered and really wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure that you would say it was a huge gift to work with them.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've actually also met multiple people. Well, here in Santa Fe, lots of people that I've met keep mules, you know, and I wasn't really familiar with mules very mm-hmm. much. And I know that they all they each have their own personality, of course, uh-huh. as well.
Oh, yeah.
But a friend of mine was saying what a stinker her mule was and that he'd figured out how to open the gate. And huh? so he would then lead everyone else out and she would have to, you know, neighbors would be calling and saying, hey, just to let you know, they're all running around the neighborhood together and they're having fun. But he had figured it out. Totally brilliant mule. And I don't know if that's par for the course for mules, but he was a little stinker, troublemaker.
That horse of mine was able to, he was like a Houdini. He would figure out how to open the latch of the stall door. He'd lean down there and start playing with it with his mouth. And the next thing you know, he had it open. He'd push the door open, go outside. Never went very far, but he would do that.
Probably. Do you think it was from watching you?
Oh, probably. Yeah. Just figuring it out. Yep.
Just like the rest of us.
Yep.
If you're listening to the long form interview, to the sweet little Easter egg that I've got at the end of this outro, I need to thank Dave for appearing on the podcast and for being an absolute badass. I actually interviewed him earlier this week, and I was so enchanted with our conversation that I thought, I cannot wait to release this. So here we are, just a few days later, and the magic that is Dave. There's going to be links to all sorts of goodies in the episode show notes, but especially that YouTube video with the performance with his beloved mule. I need to thank Dave for coming on the show, and I need to thank all of you for listening each and every week. Don't forget to share this podcast with everyone you love, and then maybe after that, everyone that you can sort of semi-tolerate in your life. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Dave. Jump off the cliff. I mean, honestly, he knew as a kid that he wanted to join the circus. And I mean, that's something that I said as a kid, but as I said, no circuses came to my town, and I didn't really have the opportunity. But Dave fell in love with the circus. And he knew, it's almost like he knew that it was going to be a part of his future. And so he's lived a life that is authentic, and maybe you would describe it as outside of society's norms. And I think we need more brave, brilliant individuals like this. So be like Dave and think about your life, or maybe just meander by a circus and consider joining, or whatever your type of circus looks like. Consider jumping off the cliff and living a brave and authentic life and creating even more magic in this world.